You're listening to The Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, Tasmania's largest independent pop culture retailer. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Oh my goodness, welcome. Welcome to The Dice Men Cometh. It is episode 184 tonight. On the 28th of September, we are the show that is all about board games, all about card games, all about dice games, and all about RPGs. Now, speaking of RPGs, I think we need to take a moment and spare a thought for a man who must have rolled nothing but nat 20s on every charisma check his entire life. And we are, of course, talking Hugh Hefner.
I think he did all right for himself. I don't want to speak, you know, for the man himself, but I think his life was probably all right.
Well, let's just say he probably lived a little bit larger than most.
Yeah.
But now he also will go down in history as probably one of the only 91-year-olds who, when hearing upon his death, no one will ever say, well, he's in a better place now.
No, it's an absolute fair point. He absolutely has lucked out there.
Exactly.
He's gone to somewhere much, much worse.
He has indeed. And look, he probably lived as he died, you know, I must say.
That was the first thing that most people said. So was he on the job at the same time?
Well, I reckon he'd still be bragging.
Yeah.
That as a 91-year-old, he was still stiff as a board. Hey!
Get it? Board as in board games and because we're filthy.
And stiff as a board as in you're a stiff.
Oh, because of the dead, right?
Yeah, anyway.
Levels,
tonight,
people.
You are with Garth and Leon, who are half of the Dice Men Cometh. And tonight, Leon, we have a show that is so full, we can't even make any more Hugh Hefner jokes. Rest his soul. We are going to be talking about what you and I and a couple of our friends have been playing very, very recently.
And it's not a lie this time. We actually played it
two nights ago. I've got some iOS updates and news. You've got some Kickstarter.
Yes.
That's a full show already.
We've got a bit of everything
tonight. What we're going to do is throw to a song. We'll come back and start with talking about Leon and his best treehouse ever.
Yeah.
So you are with the Dice Men Cometh this week, proudly supported by Area 52, our friendly local game shop. You are with us on Edge Radio 99.3, and we will be back after this song.
Perhaps.
How serene, how beautiful. That was Dominic Francis, a Tassie act with Ticks in the Sky. You're with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Now, Leon, from one very mellow and happy song to what we have been playing lately.
Yeah, so we got together the other evening to play a game of Clank, which was good fun, and we had a bit of time at the end of it, so I whipped a game out of my pocket, which is a nice little filler game that I got recently. I played it at BorderCon. We have to mention it every bloody episode. But I actually then went out and purchased it myself. It is the best treehouse ever.
Yeah, and we did talk about this very, very briefly when we were discussing one of the news updates, I think, from Gen Con and comparing some other tree game to this one.
Yeah.
But I had never played Best Treehouse ever, but now I have.
But before we get into this, did you have a treehouse growing up, Garth?
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
No, I really wish I did, though. I had a cubby house.
That's something.
My grandfather made a cubby house for us.
I don't think I technically had a treehouse, but at the back of our house, which was connected, obviously, to a house next door, there was a whole shed thing, and then there was trees, and there used to be... I used to be a very, very tiny child. I was very short. Late bloomer, I was, very much so. So I used to get up into this tree, and I don't know if I was on a tree or in a shed or what it was, but I had my own little hidey hole up there.
Yep.
Even though I didn't need one because everyone in my house pretty much let me to my own devices anyway. So I could escape from nobody.
Fair enough.
To have my own little bit. So
it was
anyway.
Your special space that you didn't even need.
Exactly.
There you go.
Just my special place outside, that was the only difference. So, the game itself, Best Treehouse Ever, is for 2 to 4 players, is aged 8 and up. I'd argue that's probably a bit high. You could play this with younger than that.
I reckon my
There's only one mechanic that's a little bit fiddly, which we'll get to.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you could play this with any sort of... 30 minutes, that's a lie as well.
Yep.
Maybe the first time if you're playing with younger kids, maybe 30 minutes, but it doesn't take that long.
No.
It's actually by Scott Arms.
Yes.
Which I didn't even realise until you'd mentioned it to me before. And then I looked at the rule book and went, you are correct, which is the man behind all the tiny Epic games.
Yeah.
Which I find odd because they're a big success. Everyone knows all them. And this game would have come out during the same time that all those games were a success. So I find it weird that this game, which is quite good, spoilers, came out around the same time, but it's just not very well known.
Yeah, I guess because, look, it did go to Kickstarter. But I guess because it is a kid style game, and you look at the kid style art, and building a treehouse is very kid thematic, comparing it to Tiny Epic Galaxies or Western or Quest or anything else.
And it's by a company called Green Couch Games, which I must ignorantly say that I don't know anything else of. I might do, but off the top of my head, they don't ring a bell.
And the other interesting thing is that the artist on this one, who's Adam P. McIver, is now basically TMG. He does a lot of the art for them
that,
as well.
That makes sense. It's very kind of kiddie, but like very well done kind of kiddie type of game.
But what is this game, Leon? I don't know what it is.
Well, I should probably actually explain that. So it is essentially a drafting game, but what you first get is you'll get a card in front of you, which is the start of your treehouse. So the big old, what's the word I'm looking for? Stump. What's the base of a tree called? the base of a tree. That'll do. I've had a lot of painkillers recently, people.
Yeah, clearly.
Anyway, and you will have this little acorn, which is a very important, probably the most important mechanic of this game. This little acorn will sit in the middle of your tree. And what that acorn is going to do is every time you put a room into your treehouse, because we're not just talking one room here of your treehouse, we're talking the best treehouse ever.
Exactly.
So it's going to have dozens of rooms by the end of it. And this little acorn you will put to left or right, depending on where you put the rooms in this tree, because you need to make sure your tree stays balanced, because it needs to be logical, because it would be ridiculous if you had your basketball court on top of your aquarium on top of your hot dog stand.
Well, that's just
stupid. But it wasn't balanced correctly. Well, no, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it needs to be balanced correctly, which is the one thing about this game, the one little mechanic, and it is a little bit fiddly, but as long as you're kind of pretty casual with it, it's pretty fun.
Look, it's not overly hard, but that would be the one thing that the littler kids would have a bit of a struggle with, I think.
Well, we played it with four grown-ups, debatably, but even still, we probably should have paid a bit more attention to it than we did, because there were probably times where we were placing things where we probably shouldn't have, although the next round we would have balanced it out anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a bit of fun.
It is. It's a game.
Yeah,
so no one cares except for the people who win.
So as I said, it's a drafting game, so there's six different colours of rooms. And those rooms all have different kinds of themes. Like there's the green rooms that all have to do with nature. So you've got things like gardens and sand pits and stuff like that. There's the blue rooms which are to with water, which are things like aquariums and spas.
And a swimming pool.
And there's one called the arsenal, which is just a kid standing in a room full of water pistols, which of course, that's what you want in your bedroom. And then other ones, like I said, you've got hot dog stands in there. You've got libraries. You've got all sorts of crazy stuff. So these six different kinds of cards. So you're drafting them around. Your normal Sushi Go kind of mechanic.
Yeah, Sushi Go, Seven Wonders.
Yeah.
Well worn.
Yeah, so you take one at a time. But the thing with this game is that if you take, say, a red card and you put it into your treehouse, from now on, since there's only three rounds in this game, it plays really quickly. Once you put that red card down, any red card you want to play from then on has to be connected to that red card you've placed.
Mm.
And if you get a red card later and there's nowhere you can't put it to that original one, you just can't put it down.
No.
You just cannot place it. So there is a bit of strategy to this, even though it is a kid's game, and it is very similar to Sushi Go. Let's get that out of the way now. Mainly because of the drafting mechanic to it, and it is a kind of kids-based game. So you draft the card that you want, you put it in your treehouse, making sure, as I said, to always keep it balanced.
Yeah, really, the only thing you need to respect is the colours.
Yes.
And the other rule, which is, apart from the two lowest rooms in your treehouse, every other room needs to be supported by two branches or something like that.
Yeah,
which is very self-evident when you look at the cards.
Which then kind of goes out the window once you start. You have to put stuff on the edge. Like it says, unless you legally have to put stuff on the edge.
Which you have to.
And you can also on your turn choose to not put stuff down, which from time to time, like I said, if you get a card you can't play, that's what you're going to do. So everyone goes around that. You do that five times, the drafting mechanic, and then there'll be one final card you'll each have, you all just discard.
Mm-hmm.
So you do that three times. But at the end of each round, there is the scoring. And the scoring, I think, is where this game becomes a game you play with kids that you can play with adults and have a bit of a, because there are four cards. As I mentioned, there are six different colours in this game that you score, and you score 1 point for each of the pretty much rooms in your house. But there are these four cards that each person gets to place one of them. And what they are is there's two of them that double the points, and there's two of them that mean that colour doesn't score this round. So first person gets to pick, and they get to go, well, I've got three green in my room. I might want to double up my green. However, Garth, who's leading, has got four red. I might make it so Red doesn't score this round, which is just, it sounds so simple, and it is a kid's game, but oh, it's nasty.
Yeah, it's just enough screw you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you could just take that out of the game,
yeah,
especially with the younger kids, because that would be something that might ruin the fun for the younger people.
It might do. It then nearly makes it not even a game.
Yeah.
But
for us,
yeah.
Oh, man, more screw you, the better.
But that mechanic was really cool, which is, I think, the reason when I first played this at Bordercon, I just thought, that's just another filler kids game.
Yep.
And then that came in and I went, oh, hello. This could be a thing. This could be a thing that groups of us that play like your coup resistance and just scream at each other. You could play this because of that one mechanic to,
yep,
just dig the screw in. Although there was one thing we found out about it, which is a bit annoying, was that at the end of every round, when people get to place these cards, whoever's first gets to place first.
There's nothing wrong with that rule at all.
That's absolutely because you won.
Nothing wrong with that rule.
You won and you were first the whole game. But it seems a bit weird, doesn't it?
It does seem, out of anything in that game, that is just seemingly broken.
It is. And the thing
because
is,
because giving the first player the ability to then double their points or screw over the second place,
yeah,
it just seems a bit wrong.
Because I read it in the rules, and I, funnily enough, read it out loud about six times, because I don't remember at Bordercon that being a thing. I mean, it must have been, but I don't remember that being a thing. Renee, lovely Renee, who taught the game to us,
mm-hmm,
maybe he just kind of think that, oh, he said you get to choose first, and we didn't think twice about, oh, the fact that they're the leader.
Yep.
But yeah, because I think every time you started off, you had, like, say, three red buildings in the first round. So you doubled red, and then for the next three rounds, so the game only takes 10 minutes, so it's, yeah, not that big a deal. But then you just doubled red every time.
Yep.
And yeah, I don't want to say you ran away with a victory, because I almost caught you at the end.
Yeah, but you didn't.
No, I didn't. That's well played. That's true. Because at the end of it, you get one extra little bonus scoring that whoever has the most amount of any colour, be it your blue, your purples, your whatever else, they will get to score all them once more.
Yep.
There's also these other little cards that they say are not for beginners, but you can play them straight away. They're just hidden achievement cards. So they have things like you need to have a brown room next to a red next to a yellow, which can come in handy for those people that kind of get screwed out of, ah, those colours are useless to me now, but you can at least look at your secret card and go, oh, I can just chuck a room there and at least get something for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that is, in a nutshell, it.
Exactly.
It is just that simple. It is no more complicated than the base game of Sushi Go.
For sure.
But you do need to ask yourself, and I will ask you as a parent, as a man who loves your Sushi Go with your family.
Definitely.
Now that Sushi Go Party exists,
mm-hmm,
would you need to have a best treehouse ever since you've got Sushi Go Party in your collection?
Look, probably, to be honest.
Okay,
because
good.
Sushi Go, personally, I think plays better at slightly higher player counts,
mm-hmm,
whereas this can quite easily play at three,
yep,
or four, I think, is the maximum number of players that you can get.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep.
So I think it certainly has a place in my collection for that. It also plays a hell of a lot quicker,
yep,
because you can speed through those six rounds without any downtime at all.
Yeah.
And you can't disregard the fact that it looks really pretty.
Yeah, the graphics.
The rooms are cool. The, yeah, rooms are funny. And you'll find yourself comparing two orange rooms, and one might be your basketball court room and the other one might be your indoor half pipe room, and you'll choose because you think that room is cooler.
Yeah.
And that's something that would drag my kids through it. I'm sure it's a relatively good value game because it's a small box and only a deck of cards.
I think I got it off eBay because most of the retailers down here didn't have it.
Yep.
Like shipped to my front door for mid-20s,
yeah, nothing,
kind of thing.
It's and well worth it.
Other than the two little markers which you use for your balance acorn and your score tracker,
yep,
both of which you could, I suppose you do need the balance outcome. But either way, my point being is, other than that, it's a deck of cards. So it's,
yes,
a travel game as well.
Correct.
So like the base game of Sushi Go, if you take it out of that tin, which is a little bit chunky for what's in it, which is just deck of cards essentially,
mm-hmm,
it's a travel game. So you could just have those two in your pocket for traveling and stuff with the kids, and Bob's your uncle. But not just for kids. Like I said before, that kind of twisty little screw you mechanic, yeah, is, I think everyone should at least give it a punt.
I think so. And I really enjoyed it. It was good fun. It was simple. After playing Clank,
yeah,
for an hour or so, which I also won.
Yes.
2 from 2 for the night.
Yes.
And,
a good relaxing little filler game is stuff you need more of in the hobby.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's pretty much it for best treehouse ever.
Yeah.
Two thumbs up from the Dice Men.
Indeed.
And for kids, absolutely perfect. I just will happily go and play that game again, and my kids would love it. But you are, well, are we? It is sponsored by Area 52 this week.
Yes, yes, we certainly are.
Now, Leon, we hypothesised that last time you weren't able to come here on a Thursday because Thursday's comic book day.
Well, we can say that until we're blue in the face, but sure.
Because you love comics?
I do indeed read comics.
All right, let's cut to a song. You're on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. We will be back in a moment.
Indeed. That was The Ocean Party with No Local on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Men Cometh. This week brought to you by our good friends at Area 52. Go in there, see them. They are friendly. They have books. They have comic books. They have board games. They have a new magic set out, which I saw the other day, which has a lot of dinosaurs in it.
Rawr.
Which I saw and went, ooh, I like dinosaurs and I haven't played magic in a while. I thought, no, Leon, no, you cannot go down that rabbit hole. However,
dinosaurs fit in rabbit holes?
Perhaps.
Okay.
Maybe that's what they got extinct. All getting their head stuck like Winnie the Pooh all the time. Anyway, I think we've gone off track.
I think so.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to do a bit of news. Now, Trent's not here, so do I have to do the diddy-diddy thing?
You can if you want
okay.
to.
Okay, news.
Wow, that is brilliant.
I am full of enthusiasm.
All right, so we are going to go into some news, and this is secondhand news because I'm holding the bit of paper that Mark prepared for last week's show. And then he and I just went on and on and on and on and on and on and on about this war of mine.
And luckily I wasn't here because it would have been the entire show.
Correct.
And he was going to be here this week, but now he's bloody sick. We can't get three of us in this studio. There's collusion afoot. People are starting to talk, saying that there's rumours around an implosion of the Dice Men. It's not true. We're just all very busy, and we're all sick old men, essentially.
Exactly. I'm lucky to be the young, healthy, virile one.
It won't be for long.
No, definitely not. So anyway, let's go, and thank you for your di-di-di-di-di-di-di. So, some news. Heard of the game Seven Wonders?
I have heard of the wonders that is seven.
Yeah, well, there's no app out for it, so don't worry about that.
Okay.
It's not come out yet. It is still not.
As you do.
It's been in testing forever. But anyway, some actual news about it is there are two mini expansion packs to celebrate the fact that it's been out for 7 years.
Ah, clever.
So they've got a Seven Wonders Leaders Anniversary Pack expansion, which gives you at least 15 new leaders and new abilities.
Yep.
So that will be kind of cool, because I like the leaders by playing Seven Wonders.
I think I've only played it a couple of times. I think I've only ever played it with the leaders. I don't know if I've ever played it without them.
Yeah, well, look, it just adds a little bit of variation, I think, and obviously anything that offers variety is good.
Yep.
They then are also offering Seven Wonders Cities Anniversary Pack, which is at least 15 new cities as well.
Oh, cool.
So that's kind of cool if you are trying to get every little bit of Seven Wonders in you before the app then takes it all digital.
Yeah.
Whenever the app ever.
Seven Wonders is a good little game. I kind of wish I'd like it a bit more, but yeah.
It's a great game, but talking about Best Treehouse and drafting, I just think there are better games that draft quicker, and you look at Sushi Go Party, and I go, I would probably rather play that than Seven Wonders a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that I can see it's a decent game, but I've only played it two or three times, and every experience has been me going, okay, I think I've got my head around this. I think I'm doing all right. And then someone at the end of the table has just gone after science and nothing else and destroyed all of us and gone, well, I pretty much just wasted my time, haven't I?
There you go. Yeah. So that's why I really, really like Seven Wonders Duel, which we haven't talked about on the show, and we won't talk about it now.
No.
I'll have to remember to talk about that. Anyway, another bit of news. Looney Labs has announced Doctor Who Flux.
Oh.
Doctor Who Flux. The latest in the Make Your Own Rules series of Flux games. Play with regenerations of the Good Doctor, Gallifreyan Tech, and even Canine.
Ooh.
Doctor Who Flux releases on November the 23rd, so we are only less than 2 months away for all you Flux fanatics, of which there must be a lot because there are a million, billion, trillion different types of Flux.
There is.
I have played one style and that was enough.
I've played none of them, although there's a drinking game one now, so
oh, there
I
you
wouldn't
go.
Mind getting stuck into that.
All right, Days of Wonder. Now, I have a feeling someone on this show may have talked about this. I can't remember. It may have even been you. Did you talk about the Small World expansion where it is going beyond the original land-based design and taking to the skies?
It was not me.
Okay.
But I have seen it, yes.
So it's going to allow you to inhabit islands in the sky with seven new races and the new associated powers as well.
Yep.
They'll all have the opportunity to fight control for these territories in the sky, including the original races in all of the original parts of yep. Small World.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool. Again, you go and see fans of Small World and they have everything.
Yeah.
Like boxes and boxes and boxes of all the maps and all the extra races and all the everything. It's, look, one of those games that I've not played for years and years and years.
Yep.
I've got the app on my iPad, which I play occasionally on an aeroplane. But even that I've not played for years and years and years because it is, dare I say it, a bit too gateway for me.
Well, it is one of those things that, yeah, it's inspired a hell of a lot of games. And I've got the base game and I've got all the expansions that just add all the extra races. So I don't have any extra boards or anything. I've just got the extra races.
Yeah, okay.
So for me, that's fine. And that's a game I can kind of whip out with anybody around. But all these other expansions that add extra bits, like this new one, when you start putting that into it, it's kind of, to me, the King of New York, King of Tokyo thing, where I kind of go, it's added an extra little bit of complexity to this, and there are other games better that are this complex.
Yep.
I think I'd rather just play the base game or play a better, different, more complicated
game. Yeah, why not just be happy with this game and put all their attention into a new game? But that's Days of Wonder. They don't release a huge number of games every year, so...
And the last one they did was Yamatai, which we hadn't talked about because I played half a game of it and then sold it. Because I was not a fan.
Clearly. All right, Paizo, or Paizo Inc., has announced that Starfinder, which is their sci-fi follow-up to Pathfinder, which I feel dirty talking about Pathfinder without Mark being here.
Oh, he's at home. It's all warm in his cockles here in his
side. Oh, dearie me. I don't want to hear about his cockles.
Let's leave his cockles alone.
It was, in fact, the fastest-selling product that they have ever released.
Nice.
That's pretty amazing. The Core Starfinder book sold out in 6 hours.
That's all right.
Selling more copies than any other Paizo product during all 4 days of previous year's conventions.
Mm.
The entire Starfinder line is currently back-ordered, but stocks are expected to come out in October again. So they've probably got some paper mill somewhere churning through ream after ream, trying to print all this paper off to get those core books to all those RPG fans.
And my assumption is that you could maybe purchase the PDF for it, if not.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe not. I don't know. But yeah. Be cool but if you could.
As I was basically reading what Mark's news updates were, I managed to also be looking at Kickstarter and found out that there is a Starfinder Masterclass Miniatures Kickstarter out.
Okay.
Where you can go and buy little plastic minis, which look awesome, to go with your core book, should you be lucky enough to have it, or by the time the Kickstarter has fulfilled, because it's already passed its 50 grand goal, by the time you get these minis, you might be actually able to get the core book and be able to play it with minis as well.
That's always nice.
That sounds good, doesn't it?
Best of all the worlds.
I reckon. Especially the Star Worlds.
Nah.
Yeah.
I get it.
Speaking of Kickstarter and RPGs, Numenera 2.
Okay.
Numenera, when it was first on Kickstarter, raised trillions of dollars. There is now...
Trent backed that, did he not? Or no?
No, Oren did.
Oh, that's right.
So Oren has, in his corner of shame, this massive collection of books and Numenera paraphernalia, collecting dust.
Yeah.
Because he refuses to learn it all because he says, I don't have time for that.
I kind of wish that everybody I know would stop buying RPGs because I'm sick of them all just going, I've got this great RPG. I'm like, that's awesome. I'd love to play it. And then we just never bloody do it.
Exactly, because it's all their fault.
Yes, very much so.
Talking to you, Oren. Anyway, Numenera 2, Discovery and Destiny, 2 books. It's raised, let's just say, $400,000 of the $80,000 it was going for. For $120 Australian, you can get both books, hardcover with a slipcase, a few other bits and pieces as well. It's free shipping, and we all love free shipping.
We do.
If you like a very heavy, involved RPG, it's set 1 billion years in the future, so the world might have changed a little bit had we not blown it up with, I don't know.
In the next couple of days. God damn.
I reckon if you've got the time in the right group, this would be a fantastic RPG to get into. Now, Leon.
Garth.
I'm going to do one more, and then I'm going to talk to you about Upper Deck.
Okay.
Okay, so just get your thoughts ready about something Upper Deck Spider-Man, okay? You ready?
I've got some thoughts.
So before we get to that, in October, Ravensburger will release an English version of its deck-building board game, The Quest for El Dorado, in the US.
Okay.
Now, basically, that's a Reiner Knizia game.
Yeah.
It received a Spiel des Jahres nomination, didn't win, but it puts players in the shoes of expedition leaders racing to find the legendary city of El Dorado. Did you watch Cities of Gold as a kid?
No, but I watched The Road to El Dorado.
Well, there you go.
Film, which was very underrated.
Yeah, well, I've heard, because I should go back and watch Cities of Gold, which is about that, that it's not so good anymore.
Isn't Cities of Gold the Brazilian film about drugs?
No.
Oh.
So anyway, starting with a handful of supplies, the players will use the deck building mechanic to expand and improve their expeditions. You will strategically decide which routes or routes to pursue in the jungle and how to use their resources to reach the city before their opponents. Now, being a Dr. Ryan Akinitsia game, no doubt there is very heavy math involvement in all the rules and the balancing and what have you. So it's got to be a tight game, especially to get the SDJ nomination as well. So if you're interested, definitely give it a go. I haven't seen too much about it, but that's just me.
Fair enough.
Next.
Yes.
Upper Deck. Now, Upper Deck have released or are releasing a new expansion for Marvel Legendary, the deck-building game.
I sure are.
Which features a storyline from Spider-Man Homecoming.
Because we needed another Spider-Man expansion.
Of course. And will release in October, so coming soon. This is the 14th expansion for Legendary.
It is. However,
it is the first expansion
to
feature imagery and characters from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, the height of laziness and cash grabbiness. It is, yes. I saw this announced the other day on the Facebooks.
Yep.
And after buying the Secret Wars expansions, which were big box expansions and had a lot of characters in it that I care not a jot about, and a lot of people didn't either, but I still bought them because there are a few good characters in there, a few good, you know, masterminds and whatever else, and I thought, I like this game so much, and it's a game that I've pretty much become a collection now, that I will collect all of them.
Yeah.
And I saw it all, and I went, it's to have it all, and I've got it all carded out, and it's all sleeved and stuff. It's all really awesome, and it's a game that I will have until the day I die. I know that for a fact.
Yep.
And then I saw this and went, they've done it. They've brought out an expansion that I care nothing about, and I will not buy. Very similar to the DC deck building game, which I like, and Mark is even a bigger fan of.
Yeah, he is.
They brought out an expansion for the Arrow TV series, which is a show we really like, and it has some awesome characters in it, some of which aren't even really in the comics. And they did the same thing. They used pictures from the television show instead of comic book art, which was the entire rest of the game.
Yeah.
And it didn't even cross my mind to go, yeah, I'm going to get that because that will look good next to all the cartoon characters and stuff I have. So this Marvel, this Legendary, and straight away I saw it when it was announced, and then I saw 200 comments, and I went, I wonder if they're all exactly what I'm thinking. And they were. There was 200 comments, and there was nothing. Nothing but everybody saying the same words of, I've bought every expansion. This is my favorite game ever. I am not buying this.
Yeah, wow.
Straight away, I am not buying this at all. And I've seen a few other little things come up from time to time. Like the Dice Tower put up a post about this is coming as well. And it was pretty much the same sentiment that I ain't buying this.
Jeez. So anyway, if you are going to buy it, doesn't sound like anyone is, but it includes 100 new cards and a color rule sheet. There are 5 new heroes, 2 villain groups, 2 new masterminds, 4 new schemes. Epic masterminds return and heroic bystanders will join the fight when rescued.
Yep.
There are new game mechanics, plus the fan favorite coordinate.
Yep.
Coming from Legendary Encounter. So that could be cool.
They all sound very, very cool, but it just, let's not lie, aesthetics are a very big part of this hobby.
Especially for a deck-building game where you spend all the game looking at the cards.
Yeah, and they're all cartoony, and like the mats you've got, whether you've got a custom one or the one that comes with the game, it's all cartoony and still, and then you're going to throw down a picture of, I've forgotten his name.
Peter Parker?
Yeah. No, what's the name? What's the actor, the guy who plays the Vulture? He was Batman. I've forgotten.
Michael Keaton?
That's the one.
There we go.
You don't want to see Michael Keaton look it up. You want to see a cool picture of the Vulture, but I digress. Speaking of which, just very quickly, our friend of the show, Josh, who's a part of the Silver Bullet Society with me, he recently got Firefly's Encounters.
I talked
him into it because him and his wife are big Firefly fans.
Sure.
And he sent me some of the art that's in that game, and he's a graphic designer. I thought he was taking the mickey and he'd mucked around with it.
Yep.
The art in that game is horrendous.
Oh, really?
If everyone out there wants a good laugh, Google the cards in that game. He actually said to me, I kind of wish this had the screen capture nonsense that Spider-Man's getting because this art is abysmal. So that's a good laugh. So Upper Deck, hitting goals everywhere.
Yeah, clearly. I'd still like to try the Firefly one. I tried to get Aiden, our friend and painter of all things miniature, because he's a massive fan as well, and we will go to his place and play an epic game of Firefly for a three quarters of a day.
Yeah.
Couldn't get him to convince.
Because it's encounters as well. So you're playing through all the episodes of the TV show I think the film as well. So
damn.
Sounds great in theory. Just looks like absolute, yeah.
All right, my last little bit of news, which is not my news, it's Mark's, is the Legend of Korra.
Yes.
Which is an anime cartoon.
It is. It's the sequel to The Legend of Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Okay,
the
so this is Aang, this which, is people who can use elements, fire, water, air, da-da-da. Mark has very appropriately written the pro-bending arena, but I'm presuming pro-bending arena.
Pro-bending arena. The people in the world that use magic are called benders. They bend the elements around them.
And gotcha.
And they have, yes, arenas where there's a three-on-three kind of fight. The actual anime, not just like for kids and stuff, the anime is really, really good.
Yep.
At least it starts out that way, and it's got a lot of adult themes and stuff to it.
Ooh. Well, this one is basically it's the fight. It's a 3v3. Yeah. It's a strategic sports game, which is an interesting dynamic for an anime series anyway.
Mm.
But the thing that I find about this this Kickstarter, which is basically it's almost over. There's 4 hours to go at the time of recording, so by the time you listen to it, it'll be over.
Yeah.
However, it was a 15-day campaign, and this is by IDW, so
yep,
big studio.
Mm-hmm.
They had zero stretch goals. However, they had deluxe reveals day on day on day on day on day. So you couldn't actually see all the loot you were going to get. It was blocked out until, you know, the day arrived.
That's interesting.
It was $65 plus shipping, which is only about, you know, $15 shipping.
Not bad.
But Mark's point is this the new face of premium or big game studios releases on Kickstarter? So not offering stretch rewards, having a completed game with everything in there, but teasing more and more upgrades and loot as the campaign goes on to get more people interested. Look, it was going for $25,000.
Yeah.
It's made currently, let's say, $200,000, so it smashed it.
Yep.
Again, big studios using Kickstarter. Mm. I don't really like it, I must say.
No. But yeah, sometimes it doesn't work though, which is the weirdest thing.
Exactly, clearly. But anyway, that is all the news. That has been a long enough break on news.
Yeah.
We are gonna throw to a song, and Leon, you are gonna come back and do more Kickstarter.
Yeah, gotta spend all that money in a year somehow.
Excellent. You're with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. With thanks this week to Area 52 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart. Give them all your money, but save enough for Leon's Kickstarter update. We'll be right back.
Yep.
Mark, get over here!
Oh, God, head down. Whoa!
Oh, no!
Look out, the T-800s are coming. What are we going to do?
Well, we're going to hide from the hunter killers as well, aren't we?
Yeah. I think we might have a traitor in our midst. How are we going to tell who are the real fighters and who are the cyber droids, the androids, the cybermen?
Shut up. Let's ask John Connor. John Connor, are you there?
Yes. How are you, Garth?
I'm good, John. Have you got anything to tell us about a potential Kickstarter update that's coming out?
I have, Garth. I don't know why I'm talking like a T-800.
Neither do I. But come on, John Connor, tell me more.
Garth, it's okay. We've got the dogs. They're a Kickstarter exclusive, and they can sniff out who's a real human and who's a Terminator in disguise.
Wow, did you let those dogs out?
I let the dogs out. Oof, 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 oof.
Oh, dear. Anyway, we are here to tell you all about Rulin Makes' amazing Kickstarter for T-2029, otherwise known as Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
And, look, there's so many good things to say about this game. We've only got a few minutes before the hunter killers come back, but you're trying to get John Connor into Skynet to destroy it. You're trying to send the T-800.
He's going back.
To protect John Connor.
That's right, and to save him so that then he can hack into Skynet and save the world.
I know. You've got to manipulate your dice.
And you've got to use your trucks and your dogs and your troops and your officers, and they're all fantastically sculpted minis.
But most of all, you've got to move your dice around the board, because it's not dice rolling, it's dice manipulation, which is one of those interesting mechanics where the pips become all that more important.
And look, what more can we say? This is Ruler Make. You know their history on Kickstarter. They deliver every time, quality, price. They're fantastic.
And they're Australian.
And the game's designed by a good friend of our show, an amazing, amazing game artist, worked with so many great game designers. He's learned so much. This is his first game, Ian O'Toole.
I know, with art by Dan May.
And heaps of other artists.
I know, it's just incredible. So jump onto Kickstarter, look for either
Terminator, or T-2029. There's still 2 weeks to go, and you'll be able to get your hands on that exclusive dog meeple, as well as what is sure to be the best Terminator 2 game out there.
Oh, yeah, back it now. I'll be backing it.
You did that last time.
Yeah, I did, and it was just as good.
Well, that was Money with Hopeless World. They are an international act, not Tassie, not Australian. That was from their 2016 album, Suicide Songs, believe it or not. You're with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Leon.
Hello.
I found a 10-cent piece.
Yes.
I'm adding that to my Kickstarter collection.
Yes.
How can I spend it?
How can you spend it? First, you can go into our good friends at Area 52.
Oh, okay.
And give it to them. Then other than that, you can... What's the song Mark used to play before the Kickstarter news?
Oh,
let's not say we did.
It's, yeah, not do that.
I'll say I'll edit it in later and then just won't do it. So that's what we're going to do. So Kickstarter. Everyone loves a bit of Kickstarter. So first off, start with an Australian one.
Yeah? What one's that?
Monsters Boom Card Game.
Okay.
By Moon Mares Games, apparently.
Okay.
They're reinventing tic-tac-toe, Garth.
Okay.
An exciting and strategic monster card game has been born. Let the monsters grow and win for you.
All right.
Yeah.
Does it feel and like and sound like it's going to reinvent tic-tac-toe for you?
Maybe.
Okay.
Either way, they were after $1,500 and they've made that.
There
so
you go.
They've made 3.5 off 87 backers. 19 days to go yesterday, so 18 as a time of recording. $35 for the Boom Master Edition, as
wow,
you do.
Wow, there you go.
96 monster cards in 4 different colours.
So it is tic-tac-toe with cards, is it?
Yeah.
All right.
And there's different monsters and stuff. I don't know if they actually do anything different or not, but it's Australian and it's been funded, so well done.
And look, it must be said that it's great that they're going for such a small target.
Yes.
If you want to be able to get your game made, you need to set the bench pretty low if you're a first-time designer.
Yep.
Or if you just want to be able to get a game out there and say that you are a game designer who has sold games.
Yeah. Because let's face it, if they were after, say, $10,000, and they had only got $3,500 after the first week, you would just extrapolate in your head and go, it's not going to get funded.
No, because
which,
it's
which,
all
which
about...
Which sucks, but that is what you do. You do look at the ones and go, you know, this. I reckon if I get behind this and maybe get some friends behind this, maybe it'll get up if it's struggling. But other times, you can just look at it and just look at the numbers and go, it's just not going to happen.
No, because it's all about the first couple of days.
Yeah.
It's all about the last couple of days. There's a massive, big dip in the middle.
Yep.
So that's good.
Right, so the next game, another Australian game, you may have heard of it.
Okay.
T-2029. Yeah.
Is that a cricket game?
No.
Ah.
It is based off Terminator 2.
Ooh.
A board game by Alan Chang, good friend of the show.
Yes.
And Rule and Make Games. And designed by, good friend of the show, Ian O'Toole.
I know.
This is amazing. This is people that I've physically met.
Yes.
And I'd consider friends that are making something that will go down in history, which is a board game for Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Which is one of the best action films ever made.
Exactly.
And it is unbelievable. Alan even put it up on Facebook the other day saying if he could talk to his teenage self saying some part of official Terminator lore is going to be in your hands.
Yeah.
How good is that?
I reckon that's so cool. And it is officially licensed.
Yeah, it's
so proper. That's fantastic. So Alan had a good chat with Trent, and there was the interview while they were still at Gen Con, and they had just released T-2029 to be out in the space to be able to show people.
Yep.
Now, it's pretty phenomenal that an Australian games company has got that right, has got those rights to be able to do that. Now, it's been years in the making, which is fantastic. It's got Ian O'Toole in his very first game design. He's not just doing graphic design or art. He's not doing that. That's gone to Dan May, who has done art for Nothing Personal. He's done art for Black Orchestra as well, which is pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
He'll also be on the same team as me and the Great Tabletop Debate at PAX.
Yeah.
Which would be amazing.
So he's achieved some good things and some not so good things.
Exactly.
That's what you're saying. But yeah, as I said before, it is one of the biggest film franchises ever. We're not talking about sometimes you see like some random horror film like board game come up and it's like, that's kind of cool, but this is one of the big ones.
It is.
This is one of the absolute monsters. Either way, so we're going to do, there'll probably be an ad for it in the show.
More than likely.
Funnily enough. But I just wanted to read out what I saw on there, which is, so it's a cooperative game where players must coordinate the resistance to defeat Skynet in the final hours of the war against the machine. So it has only been up for a couple of days. It's already raised $32,000 out of the $50,000 goal. So definitely going to get funded. It's definitely going to start smashing stretch goals anytime soon.
Yep.
It's only just over $100, including shipping Australian. Mm-hmm. And for a game that's going to have plenty of minis and stuff in it, again, those boys and what they can do with the shipping to Australia and worldwide, that alone should be commendable, even if, you know, we weren't kind of people that we know that they're nice. But, yeah, what they do for that alone is amazing. So it's set during the future war against the machines. You take roles of the commanders in John Connor's army, and you must aid in his final assault against Skynet Central Command. You have to hold back the machines, hack Skynet. You have to reprogram the T-800, which was used to be the governor, I believe, in his crucial mission to 1995, mm-hmm. while avoiding the infiltration of the evil T-1000.
I know.
Who was a guy from... Oh, what else has he done that I can make a joke about?
He did. Move along.
Was he the guy in the X-Files after Mulder left? Or was that somebody else? Ah, who the hell cares? Either way, it is a Terminator 2 board game being made by Australians, and it looks awesome.
It has dice.
It does.
It has minis. Mm. It is dice manipulation, not necessarily dice rolling.
Yep.
I'm in. I'm a backer.
Yep.
Mark is a backer.
Yep. I need to look at it a bit more. I probably will be as well. But yeah, so anyway, enough about that for the time being.
Yeah,
let's move on to the important things, like Ratland.
Okay.
By Eclipse Editorial. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Think like a rat, act like a rat, be a rat. Manage and multiply your clan of rats and become the master of the sewers. Scout the dangerous areas outside for food or snatch it from your neighbours. But be careful, they will try and do the same.
That actually sounds kind of funny.
It does.
Yeah.
$13,000 it's raised so far out of $15,000. So, and it's got 36 days, so this is one of those big long campaign ones.
Okay.
Going to happen. $34 Australian. The shipping is like $25, which is kind of our pet peeve. But still, that's not too bad. But what it does come with, I put down here, hidden action, push your luck. I literally wrote blah, blah, blah. But what I did write is 60 pieces of coloured plastic cheese.
Oh.
So you've got your yellow, obviously, but you've got like your black cheese.
Wow.
And your white cheese and your purple cheese, all the kinds of cheeses.
I could use those and upgrade my set of Mousetrap, which still only has cardboard cheese.
Yeah, so, you know, we can all go on about, you know, Terminator 2 and whatever else, but, you know, do they have coloured cheese bits in it?
Well, it might be a stretch goal, who knows?
We'll get on to that right now.
Exactly. So Ratland, is it?
Ratland, yes.
All right.
By Eclipse Editorial. And then we've got, from Mindlash Games, they present Cerebria, The Inside World. Now, what you're going to do with this is you're going to side with one of the sides of bliss or gloom. You're going to rally your emotions and shape the Cerebria identity in this immersive area control game for 1 to 4 players. Think about it as Pokemon battles with emotions.
Oh, yeah. It's like... I don't know, a Pixar movie.
Yeah. So as of recording this, there's 8 days to go. The goal was $40,000. It's pretty high.
Yep.
They've raised $335,000.
All right.
And it's one of those games you look at it and you go, ah, why? Because the minis, there's minis in there and it's really good. And you can also actually spend an extra $25 to get them all painted.
Yeah, okay.
Which, if they do a good job on it, is awesome. So, always go the painted route. If you can, you will not regret it later, I promise.
Yeah, so clearly there's lots of people out there who have feelings.
Yeah, it was weird. So yeah, you play, there's pretty much like a battle type thing, and there's strong and weak emotion cards you play to do stuff with your monsters. There's things like hatred, love, misery, delight, malice, empathy, anxiety, harmony, that kind of stuff.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So it looks interesting, and it's clearly got an audience. Because Heart and Brain, the party game. A party game for everyone that requires both heart and brain through the use of hilarious, social, silly, and mental challenges. So it is done by a man called Nick Saluk, who is the creator of the previous Kickstarter Organ Attack, which made nearly $500,000.
What?
Yes, because this heart and brain thing, which I'd seen it, and I kind of know what it is, but don't. It is, it's a New York Times best-selling comic strip series.
Gotcha. All right.
And it's one of those things that's very memeable and gifable and stuff. As soon as you see that, you go, I have seen that somewhere before.
I gotcha.
So it's a party game. It was $18,000 goal, which for something that the previous campaign made at $500,000. So again, he's been reasonable, which he didn't have to be.
No.
But they've raised over $100,000, so it's definitely coming. $43. So it's a party game with heaps of different stuff. There's things like your trivia, your puzzles, but there's also things like actions and dares and whatever else. So just another kind of party game, but something to look at. Now, the two big ones from what I can see, other than Terminator, of course, Resident Evil 2, the board game. So designed specifically for the Resident Evil universe, which I find weird because it's basically another board game that's been reskinned. But that's in the first line of the description. Okay. I went, okay. So it's a strategic game of cooperative survival horror for 1 to 4 players. Now, Resident Evil 2 is considered probably critically the best of the original's games on, mm-hmm. on the PS1 generation, even though the original is probably more fondly known.
I think I've got the first one, or yeah. had the first one, yeah, 20 years ago.
I think everyone did back in the mm-hmm. day. But 2, commercially wise, and is probably just overall is a better game. And 2 is really, really good. It's set in the town of Raccoon City, so a big city as opposed to just the mansion like the original one.
Yep.
It was 150,000, and for a game that's got this name on it and with miniatures, that's fair enough. They've already raised $350,000 in like 4 or 5 days. About $120 to Australia, which for the amount of minis in this is not too bad.
Sure.
You can also spend an extra few bucks to get some other things. Like there's some big minis, like the big alligator that's in the game, a few other bosses. There's also a retro pack, which comes with items and maybe some minis, I'm not sure, from the original game. So you can add that into it as well. But what it is based off the Conan board game.
Ah!
Which came out not that long ago. It was a big success.
Made millions.
It made a hell of a lot of money. And I looked at it and went, that is really cool. It's a shame at the time of it releasing, there wasn't a campaign to it. It was just a lot of skirmishes.
Sure.
I believe a campaign has been released later for it. And this game, Resident Evil 2, since it's based off the game, I believe will be the same. It'll have skirmishes, but also will have the campaign story to it as well.
There you go.
So whether I back it or not, I don't know, but I do. That it is still one of my favourite games ever.
You'll back it.
I probably will. And then the other one at the moment, the big daddy that's on there, The Seventh Continent.
Yes.
Which is it still number one on BGG? We probably should probably. Check that. It's close to it. A game that we have received, we have got, we just do not have the people, the physical health, and the time to get it to the table.
Or the table space, seemingly.
But we really, really would like to. So what they've basically come out with already is their first expansion. And it's a brilliant idea to bring it out, say, a month after people have finally got it to the table. Mm-hmm. It's on the hotness. It's number one. It's everyone's head. And what are they going to do? Bring out a new edition of it.
Yep.
So in this game, it's what goes up must go down is what it's called. So in the original game, there was 3 curses, so kind of 3 stories that you could go for. This game adds 2 more curses, and eventually there'll be another 2, because the Seventh Continent, they always said there was going to be 7 curses. So in this one, there's 2 new curses. The Prison of Clouds, which has you on a hot air balloon going around all the clouds and over us. And another one called the Veins of the Earth, which has you underneath the island going through, like, you know, there'd be rivers, there could be lava, all sorts of crazy stuff. The game also comes with a physical satchel, which is a journal mm-hmm. that you can put cards in it that you've got throughout the game, that are like equipment.
Yep.
So you can have that on the table and be like, so what equipment do we have? And you can actually look physically through a leather satchel you've got there to see, which for a game that takes like 20 hours is pretty cool. Also, there's an upgrade pack for people that have the original game. Some of the rules have been slightly changed, especially with the new stuff.
Yeah, okay.
So they just replace those cards. I think it's only like 20 or so cards. So, but yeah, but this is the thing. But also, for anyone who didn't back the original and has heard nothing but good things of late,
mm-hmm.
we don't know. We haven't unboxed the damn thing yet. But you can get the original game as well. You can get the original game and this new edition for like a little over $100-something-odd, which for 2,000 cards or something is pretty good. So that is what's on Kickstarter.
Is it going to fund? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Has anyone started backing it yet? Because it came out maybe, what, 2 days ago?
Yeah, a little bit. They were after $40,000.
Yeah, okay.
Which is a bit.
That's ambitious, really.
They've made $1,331,000. That was of me writing this yesterday.
I think it's closer to $1.8 million already.
It's raised $500,000 since yesterday is what you're telling me.
I'm just guessing.
So it's doing all right for itself, and apparently people like the game. So that is all your Kickstarter news.
Wow. That is a lot. There are a lot of decent games in there as well, which is
fantastic. There was a lull there for a while, but there's some decent stuff on there now.
Exactly. So that's about it for this week.
All righty.
We're pretty much all done.
Oh.
So that's pretty spectacular, isn't it?
It's good. Bit of a shame, though. I was getting my stride then.
Yeah, well, Leon, you are getting back into it. You're feeling healthy.
I am back here. I was supposed to be here last week, but I was dying, as I tend to.
Oh, dearie me. Well, that's okay, because you will be back, hopefully, for next week.
No.
No?
I'm working.
Oh, no.
It's you and the dead guy.
Oh, really?
And maybe the jet-lagged guy. We don't even know these days what's going on. But you'll be here.
I will be here. I'm always here. I'm the one constant. So, look, thank you so much for listening.
Yep.
We are the Dice Men Cometh, or at least half of them.
Yep.
Trent, I think, is back from his jaunts overseas in Japan.
Yep.
Mark will hopefully be healthier by next week.
Yep.
That's the plan anyway.
And remember to check us out on all the things, all your Instagrams and stuff. And Facebook. Talk to us on Facebook. We all have Facebook. We use it a lot. We're on there every day. Talk
exactly.
to us. Send
if
us stuff. We
if
like
you do
to
like the show, please give us a 5-star review on the iTunes podcast.
Yes, 5 stars or nothing, people. I will repeat that again. 5 or nothing. If it's anything less than 5, you hate us immensely.
All right. Well, we're going to call it quits for the night. Thanks so much to Area 52 for supporting us this week. Thanks so much to Edge Radio 99.3 FM for having us on yet again. You are with the Dice Men Cometh, and we will see you, or at least we will. You will hear us.
Yeah.
Next week.
That was almost good.
Bye.
Yo-ya.
This has been another episode of The Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, offering comics, books, card games and board games for the whole family. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au, and find us online at thedicemencometh.com.